I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hello and welcome to the Premier League season preview, another episode in this series where we look ahead to a couple of teams and how they are going to fare in this season's Premier League. It is, well, days if not hours away now, and we are today talking about Tottenham and West Bromwich Albion and how things will go. If you want to listen to this as a podcast or anything about, you can do so by searching for What Culture Football wherever you get your podcast from. But as always, I'm joined by Andrew Pollard to talk about these things. And Andrew, is it going to be all or nothing for Spurs this season?
Wow. I can't believe you genuinely threw that in. I think it's going to be all right for Spurs this season, which is a total anti-climax to it. I expect Spurs to be thereabouts. I don't think it's going to be all, and I definitely don't think it's going to be nothing. It's just going to be maybe a little bit Spursy, possibly. But I can feel the hate already in the comments coming from Spurs fans. But I think they're going to do well, which we will get to.
You've been watching this documentary series.
Oh, I have.
Talk to me about it on a daily basis, and I'm desperate to find the time to watch some of this because it sounds amazing.
It's brilliant. I was saying, I'm not sure whether it was this morning or yesterday morning, about how I've watched it in like 2-3 hour blocks where once you, because there was the first three episodes dropped at a certain date and then the second three episodes dropped earlier this week. And both times I've watched them, I've binged. I'm not really like a binge watcher for TV. Mm. And if I am, it's only just like background noise, that like old Raws or something like that. Old yeah. WWE Raws or pay-per-views, but it's just background noise while I'm working. With these Spurs All or Nothing documentaries on Amazon Prime Video, I've just been engrossed for 3 hours. It flies by like it's, if I could click my fingers, it flies by like it's 20 minutes and there's three episodes gone. And you find yourself thinking, oh my God, I love Sergio Aurier. Oh my God, I love Ben Davis. Oh my God, Christian Eriksen was a bit of a word I don't think I can get away with saying on this.
Danny Rose is very to the point, isn't it?
Danny Rose, it was brilliant. I loved it. There's an episode, might have been the fifth episode, where it's where Danny Rose isn't playing for Spurs, he isn't getting much game time, and he's been summoned to the manager's office. And we see this through a lot of the episodes where players get called to Jose's office. Of course, it starts off with Mauricio Pochettino, but then he gets fired and Jose Mourinho comes in. But Mourinho calls Danny Rose in. And normally they approach Jose with like, hi gaffer, what do you want to see me for? Danny Rose just walks in, bold as brass, balls like this, and just is like, right, okay, Jose, what's the problem? Like, what's up? And you see Jose Mourinho's a little bit like, okay. What do you mean? He's like, well, clearly you've got a problem with me. I'm not playing. I'm busting the gut in training all the time. I've been playing better than all these players, but there's players that we all know as a squad that players aren't playing well, but they keep getting games, but I can't get a game. And Jose tries to backtrack with, well, you did really well in the build-up to the Liverpool game. You played against Liverpool, and maybe you didn't play well. And then Danny Rose was like, yeah, I did. I wasn't very good. Again, language has to be tailored on this video. I've got a whole new respect for Danny Rose, where he says it himself after this interaction, where it's like, I'm an adult. If I've got a problem, I'm going to come and speak to you about it. And it's like, well, yeah, of course. Brilliant. Of course you will. And obviously he gets his move to Newcastle on loan last season. But it is quite funny when he's Daniel Levy and Jose are talking about it. And they're like, well, what are you going to do with Danny Rose? Well, he wants to leave. Yeah, we're prepared to let him leave. And Jose's like, so who's in for him? It's like, well, he's kind of aiming here, but there's nobody here coming for him. So it's Newcastle or Bournemouth. And Bournemouth's only dependent that they want to sign him permanently. On loan initially, but permanently only if they stay up. And then Danny Rose comes over and he's like, so is that what's happening with AC Milan? It's like, and Daniel Levy has this thing of like, well, they've not really shown much interest. They've kind of made contact, but it's looking like Bournemouth or Newcastle. But it's just, it is, it's such a, so I hold my hands up that I've never seen the Manchester City documentary, mm-hmm. There All or Nothing. I still haven't watched any Sunderland or Die. But yeah, Spurs All or Nothing is it's clearly a vehicle made for Jose Mourinho because it's Jose TV. He swears beautifully. Yeah. Or I swear like a sailor when I'm not on YouTube. But Jose Mourinho swears beautifully. The fact that he tells the way he says about
I think the clip we've all seen on Twitter where he just tells Sky Sports News to basically F off whilst he's just on in his office is great. But anyway, this isn't a review of all of it. It does give you a very interesting insight into how Spurs fared under Mourinho and how they may fare this upcoming season. Because along with a lot of expectations, they have potentially a crazy fixture list to start the season with.
Yes, I didn't actually know quite how crazy and intense it was until you sent me the list over, and it's like, oh my goodness, what, 9 games in 21 days to start the season with. It starts on September 13th for them at home against Everton, but then they have a game. It's, God, some of them are just like 2-day breaks. It's not. It's Everton on the 13th September, Plovdiv in the Europa League on September 17th. 3 days later, it's Southampton away. Then 2 or 3 days later is the Carabao Cup third round for them. Then a day after that is another Europa League game. Then 2 days after that is Newcastle. 3 days after that is a Carabao Cup fourth round if they get through. I'll be honest, if I'm a Spurs fan, I'm thinking, just throw the third round. It's all right. Don't need this game. Then there's another Europa League game. It's Manchester United on October the 3rd. Yeah, away at Old Trafford. There's this 9 games in 21 days is, especially with such a quick turnaround in terms of pre-season, the fact that the 19-20 Premier League season, well, football season, feels like it only ended yesterday. And now all of a sudden Spurs are coming back this weekend and they've got a run of 9 games in 21 days. 9 games in 3 weeks that's a crazy schedule to start with.
They'll have been disappointed, obviously, to not finish in the Champions League places last season, although I think that was maybe out of sight for quite some time, towards the end of the season, certainly. What are their expectations this season, and who are the key men to help them achieve that?
I do think they need some more bodies through the door, but I think they probably will get some more bodies through the door. But I think it's Spurs who, over the last probably decade, they've got themselves regularly in and around that Champions League place, as in that they normally get European football, and if at the least, and if not, they're normally pushing at least for Champions League football. So I think if for Spurs, realistically, they probably are going to be, I don't want to like deflate any Spurs fans, but I imagine them in the same sort of place that they finished last season. I mean, they came sixth on 59 points, but they were 7 points off the Champions League spots, which... Yeah, okay, Jose Mourinho's got, it's another, he's had his pre-season, no matter how short it is, he's had more time with the players, is the point. So you're thinking, people talk about Mourinho as maybe being, as the modern game has maybe passed him by, which I think that is, I don't know, I think it's almost offensive to say that, but there is proof there in a way, but it's down to him really now to, okay, you've got this team, you've not come into a team where you've gone to Real Madrid or you've gone to Inter Milan or you've gone to Manchester United or to Chelsea when you had loads of money available. You're now a team at Spurs. You've had your first few months to get acquainted to the job and acquainted to the players and move your squad around a little bit, and now it's like, all right, okay, you've got a team here who's six, what can you do with this? In terms of key players, I mean, Harry Kane, clearly, we've seen so much over the years, over the last couple of years, about how important he is, and also the fact that when he doesn't play, they don't have another out-and-out striker. They could play Son there, who I think is a phenomenal footballer. Yeah, he's so much fun to watch. They played Lucas Moura there. He's a really cool part of this this All or Nothing documentary. That's me pointing at my TV, which is pointless because nobody can see that. That's why I'm pointing over there. Not like Lucas is just sat in my corner.
Yeah.
But he's brilliant because they talk about him and they showcase his hat-trick against Ajax the previous season as a young girl comes over from Brazil purely, solely wanting to meet Lucas Moura. It's beautiful to watch that bit. But Lucas could be a key player for them. But I'm really looking forward to seeing Steven Bergwijn getting a full season. He really hit the ground. Well, I say hit the ground running. He hit the ground with a beautifully taken cushion on my knee and just volley it on the turn goal on his debut against Manchester City. So I think that's he could be one of the players of the season, really, for me, I'm looking at. And also, I think Gio Lo Celso, after, I mean, he came in on loan initially, and now he signed permanently from Real Betis. And I think the more the season went on, the better he started to look. And I think that, yeah, regular football started to benefit him. I think he could be another star that maybe takes the eye. And I'm always going to have a lot of love for Toby Alderweireld. So, yeah, big Toby at the back as well, I think, is pivotal for them this season.
I think Matt Doherty is a great signing for Spurs, and an absolute bargain. The Wolves fans that I know were furious at the little money they got for him. And also, I think this is going to be a huge season for Harry Winks, especially with the tournament at the end of it.
Yeah, it's a strange one with Harry Winks, because we all know how technically sound he is. He's technically great. He recycles the ball really well. You can maybe say he doesn't play the killer passes enough. Well, maybe he's more happy just to keep the ball moving and maybe go sideways and backwards than forward. But technically, he's really good. And you see Manchester United were sniffing around him at one point, I think possibly under Jose. Pep Guardiola is known to be a big admirer of him, and they've maybe come in at Manchester City at times. But then when it comes to Spurs, where he plies his trade, then he's kind of in and out of the team. So I think, yeah, it could be a big season for Winks, where he needs to be. I think he's waiting for that opportunity where he gets that run of games of maybe 10 games, 5 games, where he can cement himself as a regular starting part of that team at starting 11. And then obviously off the back of that, then he can start being a fixture of that England team. But we've seen it before with players like this, where they get talked about and we can see how good they are, but it doesn't maybe work out for them, and they end up drifting a bit, and then they maybe drop down from a Spurs to a mid-table team, and all of a sudden they're not in the England squad or the national squad, whichever team they play for. So yeah, I like Harry Winks. I think he's really good at what he does, but I don't know. Part of me is like, I want to see him get a run, but I also want to see a little bit more. I think now is the time for him to really deliver. But to do that, he has to have the opportunity to deliver.
Yeah, unquestionably.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Let's transfer over and talk about newly promoted West Bromwich Albion, though. Yep. Feels weird because I'm going to have to just keep talking about West Ham in this when I'm talking about West Brom. They got a great signing from West Ham, a bargain deal again. How do you see West Brom faring now they're back in the Premier League?
I think it's going to be tough. I don't think there's any way to sugarcoat it. I think for any team that comes up to the Premier League, it's always that first season is... it's that acid test of like, right, okay, this is where you've got to step up now. And if you can just get to that 17th spot, then that is, to me, as any team coming up to the Premier League, I think that has to be success. And I think West Ham would snap your arm off now for 17th place, just above relegation and staying in the Premier League. I think it's going to be a tough year. What I saw them last season, they did seem to be lacking goals. I mean, it was Charlie Austin and Hal Robson Kanu, who were their top goal scorers in the league, with 10 goals apiece. And you're thinking, you got promoted and your top goal scorer's only got 10, and there's only two of them. I think that, yeah, bringing in Grady Dianganga on a permanent deal from West Ham is a real good piece of business for 12 million as well. A player that I think I maybe only seen him four or five times, but when I saw him, he always stood out. And we saw the reaction on social media from Mark Noble and other West Ham players about how disappointed they were that West Ham had let this player go. And so that's a big one for West Brom. But yeah, I think it's going to be a slog. And yeah, if I'm a West Ham fan, I'm bracing myself for that relegation dogfight. And it's just, who knows when it comes to that. Maybe they stay up, maybe they don't. But it's going to be a tough one.
Do you think West Brom stand a better chance of staying up because of the fact they've got Slaven Bilic in charge?
I think he's a good manager. I do rate him. But I also think you've also got to look at the players available to him. And I just, when you look at the squads in the Premier League for this coming season, when you look at the squads of the teams that have come up, you're looking at who is going to be best equipped to stay in the division. And I think, like with Fulham, I think Fulham, I don't think there's, right now, there's maybe not, it all comes down to, I guess, the team ethic, but just in terms of quality, I don't think Fulham have quite got the quality of players. And I think West Brom fall into that as well. I think Leeds, I've got a little bit more faith in Leeds staying up, but I think, yeah, I think with West Brom, I think Slaven Bilic is great, but I just think a lot of the time it comes down to the quality of the players on the pitch at his disposal. It could be Pep Guardiola in charge of West Brom, and I'd still think that they're going to be in a relegation fight this season.
Not to tip our hand for our fantasy football preview, which is coming in the next few days, but a friend of mine was banging on, is it Pereira for West Brom?
Mateus Pereira.
Real player to look out for this season.
Oh, so he's in your team, is he? I'm keeping my mind. I'm keeping Sturm on my team. No, he was there on loan last season, signed permanently this season for somewhere, I think it's maybe 8 million, 9 million, around about that figure. And it's a big signing because he did well for them last season. I think bringing him in and bringing Dianganga in, both players who know the club at West Brom after being on loan last season, I think it's smart business. And yeah, maybe you never know. It's like, without talking in cliches, it's like you never know who can step up to that Premier League level, really, when teams come up from the Championship. I'm talking about teams and I'm talking about players. But yeah, it's like you look across the board and you're thinking, well, is this the year that Mitrovic gets it right in the Premier League? Or Fulham, is this where Calvin Phillips steps up and looks absolutely top class for Leeds in the Premier League? And I think, yeah, with Dianganga and with Pereira, it's a case of, can they do it now? They've had that year with West Brom. They know that West Brom, they know that they feel loved and wanted at West Brom. They've got a manager that backs them. And yeah, maybe they could be surprise packages. Maybe they could be good additions for your fantasy football team.
You mentioned me glancing away whilst you were talking there, just opening up the opening fixtures for West Brom, because they've got a real tough start of it. And often, if teams find themselves down there, you know, they play Leicester on the opening weekend, then Everton, then Chelsea, and then you've got some really sort of important games potentially for them. Southampton away, home to Burnley, Brighton and Hove Albion, then Fulham at the end of October. The difficulty is if they are down there in that relegation zone by the start of November, it's really hard to fight out of that. I mean, the November fixtures right now, Spurs, Man United and Sheffield United, that could almost be the death knell for them before we even get into 2021.
Yeah, I mean, we're doing these videos in pairs where we're looking at two teams apiece, and we earlier in the week looked at Liverpool and Manchester City, and that was a case that we talked there about how, what if one of those teams doesn't get off to that great start? Do they then have all that? Is it possible to make ground on whoever's top of the league? And I think, yeah, the other end of that is it's the exact same principle at the bottom of the league, where if West Brom get off to a rough start and they find themselves with minimal points by the time October, November comes around, then yeah, we saw that with Norwich last season, where Norwich, okay, they had that kind of one-off fluke result against Manchester City, but Norwich were kind of, you could see by maybe October that they were going to be in for a struggle. And yeah, West Brom, I'd like to see West Brom do well. I've got a couple of mates that support West Brom, and to me, I think they're a great football club. And I hope they surprise me and they're comfortably, I don't know, 14th, 13th, 15th by the time the end of the season comes around. But I just think that it's a tough start. And then it's, like you said there, with the games that come up later on in October, November, I think. Yeah, but it's, again, cliches. Every game's a tough game in the Premier League. And I just think with West Brom, you look at it and you think maybe they could do a few more players through the door. I know Troy Deeney's a name that's been linked, and I think that'd be a good fit just because he's obviously proven at the Premier League level. He brings just I think West Brom will set up as quite a defensive team, and it's I think Troy Deeney is really effective though, as he's been for Watford, where it's just a case of he can hold the ball well, he's aggressive, he's a leader, and maybe that could be a good bit of business if they can get that done. I think Sam Johnson in goal as well. He's got a point to prove, because you know, never quite made it at Manchester United. Dropped down on loan to Villa at one point, and now he's at West Brom and had a great year last season. And maybe his time in goal is like, right, okay, I've got something to prove here that I am a Premier League player.
And like you said, it's going to be difficult, but these are two strikers who've played in the Premier League before in Charlie Austin and Hal Robson-Kanu. I will not hear a bad word against Hal Robson-Kanu. I doubt they're going to have any protest from you. Just that goal against Belgium will live long in the memory. I remember watching that jaw agape when that happened. He didn't have a club, I believe, at the time when that went in. Yeah. But anyway, are they going to be good enough? I mean, they've got a good amount of experience in the Premier League, even if not necessarily setting the world on fire.
Yeah, I'm just having a moment there of reminiscing back to those heady days of 2016, and it was the Hal Robson-Kanu pulling that out of his arse from nowhere, and then the Sam Vokes header in the 90th minute, where it's just that realization of we can't lose. It's 3-1. It's the 92nd minute now. The streets of Wrexham were alive that night. The streets of Wales were alive. Brilliant. I think with Charlie Austin. Now I'm thinking of his Parklife video thing that came out of his goal past Ben Foster that wasn't a goal. I don't know with Charlie Austin. I always think that he's one of those players where maybe a little bit like a Dwight Gayle, where he's really good at that championship level. I don't know. At Southampton, he had glimpses. He knows where the goal is. It's just I don't know if he's maybe that prolific Premier League striker that's going to score those, I don't know, 20 goals, whatever you need to stay up. Hal Robson-Kanu, I won't hear a bad word said about him, but that's maybe why I won't say anything else when it comes to Premier League football for him. I don't think there's enough goals in this West Brom side. And that's where I worry for him. I think they could be solid at the back. I just think I'm worried in the final third for West Brom.
Yeah, I think the thing that's making me pick them as my relegation candidates is the lack of goals. They need more goals. And like you say, if they can bring someone in like Troy Deeney, then maybe they can counter that. But for now, I think this is both of us agreeing that they are probably relegation candidates unless they do something drastic in the next few days or before the transfer window closes. But do let us know your thoughts ahead of the Premier League season on both sides, Spurs and the Baggies, in the comment section below. Don't forget to like, share and subscribe. And subscribe to What Culture Football, wherever you get your podcast from, for daily football podcasts, which of course include all of our Premier League season previews. We are nearly there. Two teams left. West Ham and Wolves. So make sure you subscribe for that and let us know your thoughts on Twitter at WhatCultureFC. Watch there, follow both of us. Andrew, where can people get you on Twitter?
They can get me at CulturedLeftPeg.
And you can find me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all, as I said, at WhatCultureFC. This has been the Premier League season preview for Tottenham Hotspur and West Bromwich Albion. We'll be back with West Ham United and Wolves. But for now, my thanks, Andrew Pollard. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.